So in talking with cellist Carlos Rodriguez, Carlos is the cellist for the Grammy Award-winning Catalyst Quartet, wonderful organization that we've featured here on FM 91 in the past. And they have a new project that they embarked upon, and it involves some recordings. The first volume is in this project called Uncovered, and it's music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor. First of all, Carlos, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure.
Tell us about this project, this Uncovered project, because it encompasses more than one recording, but the first one is out now. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, for sure. Well, the Uncovered project is something that we came up with a couple of years ago now, and it's taken quite some time to get it off the ground, but here we are, the debut volume one. Now, this series of recordings, which we're also doing in live performance as we can these days, but definitely moving into the future, it's a multi-volume anthology featuring all of the music for string quartet by historically important black composers. So the first album, here we have Samuel Coleridge Taylor's music, and that features a string quartet, a wonderful piano quintet, and a clarinet quintet. And we're joined by pianist Stuart Goodyear and clarinetist Anthony McGill. Volume 2, which we are set to start recording in April, is all of the music of Florence Price. And in that volume, it's going to be really a wonderful thing because there are some previously undiscovered works that are going to be featured there. And volume 3, we're going to head into the 20th century, squarely in the 20th century, with music of Coleridge Taylor Perkinson, George Walker, William Grant Still. And potentially volume 4 will include all of the wonderfully classical ornate string quartets of the Chevalier de Saint-Georges. So that's a brief outline of the Uncovered project.
Yeah, a lot to look forward to and a lot to listen to right now with the music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor. You've got three different works on here, as you mentioned. One of them was Stuart Goodyear, who incidentally was just in Toledo in early February playing with the symphony, so he's been here a few times in the past. A little bit of a local connection. Let's talk about Catalyst Quartet briefly, and because there's another semi-local connection through the Sphinx organization, which is based out of Detroit, which is not too far afield from where we are now. Can you tell us about your involvement with Catalyst?
Yes. So the Catalyst Quartet was founded by the Sphinx organization. And in its inception, the Sphinx organization was actually just a string competition, a national string competition, with its goal and mission in order to promote diversity in classical music through the inclusion of black and Latino string players specifically. And we all participated in this competition. And since then, I mean, we're talking two decades ago now, the Sphinx competition has become this huge Sphinx organization which does so many wonderful things. And one of those things 10 years ago was the fostering of a young string quartet and from its alumni pool, and we happened to be those people. And so that's how we came to be, and that's our original relationship with the Sphinx organization. And since then, we've gone on to do so many great things with them and so many educational endeavors and mentorships, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah. Well, the name Catalyst itself implies sort of a force for change, and you're definitely following that mission with the music that you've recorded here, especially in this project Uncovered. Let's talk specifically about these works of Samuel Coleridge Taylor. Wonderful, gorgeous music here. Where does it fit in the classical repertoire? How would you characterize his work?
It's uniquely individual to his voice, which I just am so excited to learn and to experience through the learning and recording of this work and now performance of this work. But it definitely does hearken to a romantic era. It's definitely, I mean, he lived in the Edwardian and Victorian time. He's an Afro-British composer, lived primarily in London, and studied there with some of the most top-notch teachers of the day, and he was actually very much encouraged and supported by Edward Elgar, which is a wonderful thing. And, you know, his life was epic in scope, and he did visit the United States a couple of times, I believe, and met even with Theodore Roosevelt, and had a great he was a source of great inspiration for a lot of music making here in the United States as well, in his very short 37-year lifespan,
yeah,
which is sort of incredible to think about. But it does harken to a romantic, really juicy, flowing, melodic, rhythmically rich sensibility, which could be linked to, say, the composers of Dvorak and Brahms and stuff like that, but definitely a very singularly unique voice that he has.
Yeah, and the music itself is just of the utmost highest quality, and these performances are fantastic. I mean, we mentioned Stuart Goodyear, also Anthony McGill, who is principal clarinet of the New York Phil. How did you involve those two gentlemen in this recording?
Well, when we set out to record these pieces specifically, you sort of have your wish list and your dream list of, like, who's the best person who could say the most to this music, who could potentially have the deepest connection, who hasn't recorded before, and you make your wish list of people. And we were lucky enough that our first choice of collaborators for this album, they were both very excited about the project. And so it was an easy decision, an easy choice in that respect, because they're just the people that we wanted, based on who they are, based on what they're about, based on just their incredible playing and their general collaborative spirit, and when it comes to chamber music, for sure.
Yeah. Why did you decide to go with music of Coleridge Taylor first, for the first volume?
Well, this project was originally only meant to be one album, and we were going to sort of do all of those four volumes that I mentioned before in one album, because we thought, oh, that's the music we have at hand. And little did we know that as we got on this road and started uncovering, as it were, more and more music. And so by the time we were sort of figuring out this is going to be a little bit bigger than one album, we decided that we would go first with the composer whose music we have all of and that we are aware of in its entirety. Because, for instance, our second volume, which would be Florence Price, there are pieces that we only received recently, that we were only became aware of recently, that have not even left her original manuscript in the creation of that music. So, you know, the reasons being is that we really wanted to tell the whole story here in our attempt to sort of redefine the classical music canon, and the composer whose music we had all knowledge of first, and physical copies of the scores, although we did have to have a score made for the fantasy pieces because it doesn't exist, it's out of print, was Samuel Coleridge Taylor.
You talk about that score being out of print, for instance, and working off manuscript scores of Florence Price. I mean, weren't a couple of her string quartets just discovered not too long ago? They were like in an old house somewhere.
Yeah, they were discovered in an old house outside of Chicago. So, I mean, I can't imagine what that must have been like to find a stack of music. And luckily, whoever found it, were very grateful that they didn't just toss it, because, you know, or take it to the dime store or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of an amazing thing. But there, even beyond the things that have sort of come out of those findings, there's still more to uncover there. And so we're going to present all of it, and that includes two sets of counterpoint studies, one unfinished quartet, a finished quartet, and two piano quintets.
Well, it's fantastic that you're documenting these on recording. Are you also engraving any of these works? Is there a component there?
Shermer has been working on getting this stuff published, and so it's a slow process,
yeah,
and it's an arduous one, but we do hope that as we go along the path through all of these albums, all of these volumes, that by the end, not only will there be recordings, high quality studio recordings made of this music that some just purely do not exist, but also we'll have a way for people to have access to the music, because that's really one of the great stumbling blocks in these pieces being omitted, as it were, through the years from the canon or from even consideration of inclusion in the canon, is just access to the music. So we're definitely providing, recording access, and through the end of it, hopefully there will also be physical access to the music, to the scores. Yeah.
You're serving as a catalyst, as it were, for that to happen. Yeah.
Happy to live up to the name.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a go-to project for listeners who are interested in this music, a journey of discovery. And I imagine for you, as a musician, recording, playing this music, some of it being laid down on record for the first time, I mean, how does that experience track with doing more traditional stuff, when you did the Bach Goldberg recording? That had been done a few times in the past, and of course, the harpsichord version, the piano version, all of that. There's a lot of precedent that is set by mm-hmm. other performers, but when you're creating it for the first time, what is that experience like for you?
Well, it's two-sided in a way. It's number one, it's kind of liberating, because there is no mantle of tradition that you have to weigh in creating an interpretation. And in that sense, it's a lot like a new music project, and there's a lot of freedom there, because all of these decisions we have to just kind of sit there and mull over, what to do in this transition, or how to balance this one passage, or what bowings to use to highlight, certain musical lines that we want to have singing. So there's a lot of freedom, and so that's kind of liberating. But at the same time, there's this sense of great responsibility, and you really want to get it right, or get it as right as you think you can get it. Because it will, for some of these pieces, be the first recording.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, before we go, just about your background as a cellist.
Well, I'm a Cuban-American, and I grew up in Miami, Florida, and went to arts middle school and arts high school there at the New World School of the Arts. And then I moved from sunny Miami to very snowy Cleveland, and did my undergraduate studies there at the Cleveland Institute of Music, and then moved swiftly to New York City, where I live now, for grad school, and have lived for, I guess, now 20 years, and started doing all the things you do here, playing in all the different, chamber settings, Broadway show settings, Radio City Music Hall, doing recordings, teaching a bit, and just making a life in music, which is really, not these days, but in New York is just such an exhilarating place to be when it comes to performing arts. And the Catalyst Quartet came along 10 years ago, and that has become the focus of my journey quite a bit since then. But there are still lots of other interests that I have artistically, which are exciting to explore as we move forward in this life of music.
Yeah. Well, this life of music obviously has been affected by the pandemic, which we're still in as you and I talk. Has it hampered your activities in terms of what you've been able to do as a musician?
Well, I have to say, the toll that this has taken on the performing arts community and on arts communities in general is just, I can't even put it into words to justify what it's done to me and my colleagues and to creativity. It's just, it's horrible, and it's devastating. But in the quartet, we've been very fortunate to be flexible as a smaller ensemble and be engaged. A lot of people want to hear what we have to say, which we're very grateful for. And we try our very best to support the endeavors of others through this time with their creativity in making music and live performance, however it can be experienced, happen. So In our versatility and in our sort of support system that we want to provide for people trying to make art still happen and thrive through this time, we've been quite busy, and we're very lucky, but it is immensely challenging still to right now, to this moment.
Carlos Rodriguez is the cellist of the Catalyst Quartet. They have released the first volume in their project Uncovered. It's available from Azika Records, music of Samuel Coleridge Taylor, also pianist Stuart Goodyear, and clarinetist Anthony McGill joining them on the album. We'll link to Catalyst's website as well as to the album from our website at WGTE.org. Carlos, thank you for the music, the wonderful performances, and especially for joining us to talk about it here on FM 91.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.